Good morning. How are you? Pretty good? This is a special kind of a map. You know what kind of a map this is? You know what this is called? A globe. Yeah, it's a globe. So it's a map of the world as a round place. And do you think you can find where you live on this map? Does anybody know? Do you think you can? Can I help you? Okay. All right. That's Antarctica. It's not where we live. Feels like it in the wintertime. But this is Australia. This is Asia right here. And this one is Africa.
Where do I live?
I'm going to show you. This is South America. And up here is North America. And then we get to this part, the United States of America. And do you see the letter E there? You see that right above there? Way up in the sky, it says St. Paul. And we live about on the top of the letter E on this map right there. And then if I give it a spin, can you find it again? Can you point to it? You live right here. You all live right there. But God, in our Old Testament lesson and in our New Testament lesson, tells us he wants all to be saved through Jesus. And he invites everybody in the world from all of these places and all of the islands and everywhere here. Jesus wants everybody to come to faith in him and to come with him to be in heaven. When you see a globe like this, maybe you have a map like this at home, and or you see one at school, remember that God wants all of these people to be saved and come to heaven, doesn't he? Let's pray about that, okay? Can you fold your hands? Heavenly Father, you tell us you want everyone to be saved, and you save us through Jesus. So help us to remember to tell our family, our moms and dads, our grandparents, our friends, and when we get older, our kids, and maybe we'll be teachers or pastors, and we will tell people about Jesus, our Savior, so everyone can come to heaven with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this 20th Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in Matthew chapter 22, the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. A parable is a comparison. It's a story about something ordinary that is compared to something spiritual, a point that our Savior wants to make. And in this one, Jesus takes us dramatically and quickly through four spiritual truths that go something like this. First, Whatever happened to the Israelites and their place in the kingdom of God, in the church? And secondly, most of us here are Gentiles. How did we ever get into the kingdom of God? And thirdly, how do I personally merit being part of God's family, God's kingdom? And fourth, why do some people still end up outside the kingdom? And Jesus lays this out, this simple, you might call it chiastic, it's an ABBA pattern. Why not them? Why us? Why me? Why not him? Well, a study of ancient Jewish weddings would probably come in handy about now. We don't have time to go into all the details. Maybe one day we'll just do that. But for now, understand that Jewish weddings went on sometimes for 7 whole days. That they were attended by invitation, usually invitation only, very similar to our own weddings today. And also, especially for a wedding in a wealthy family, there was a dress code. And here for the son of a king, what would happen is that the ones throwing the banquet, the groom, maybe the father of the bride, they would actually supply the wedding garments for the people who were coming. I don't think that necessarily happened at every wedding, but this is a king's son here, a prince getting married, and so that's what they did. And we might see an echo of that in the wedding of Samson in the Old Testament. Now, not everything in a parable always has a place in the spiritual comparison. For example, there aren't going to be weddings in heaven, but we can apply what Jesus says in the earlier parables where he explains everything to this parable and others to understand what he means here. For example, the king is God the Father, and the Son is God the Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the first ones who were invited, well, they were largely the people of Israel, but also some of their ancestors before there ever was an Israel. And there were some people like Cain, who went off because he had a field to look at, or wicked Ahab, who coveted the field of another man. And there were others who had business of their own to attend to. And many of them seized the servants who had the invitations, and those servants, of course, are the prophets. And they abused them, they imprisoned them, they beat them up, and they even killed some of them. Well, the last of those messengers is the one that Jesus has been talking about in the previous chapter. This, by the way, is Tuesday of Holy Week. All of this is going on, and Jesus was challenged. Where do you get this authority? And Jesus says, I'll tell you where I get the authority if you'll tell me about John's baptism. Was it from heaven or was it an invention of man? And the Pharisees and the scribes and others, they don't know how to answer, because if they answer one way, they would be saying, we're rejecting what came from heaven. If they answer the other way, they would be saying, we're rejecting what all the people want. And they're not going to do either one of those. And so they don't. And Jesus keeps pressing them with parable after parable. This is the fourth of those parables in a row, I think, or third, but pushing them about John the Baptist and how people get into the kingdom of heaven, because John is the last of those who was killed and rejected. And earlier, what had happened to this kingdom? Hadn't Jerusalem been burned and ruined by the Babylonians? Wasn't this about to happen again in just a few years, where the Romans would come and wreck the city and burn it all, including the temple? Well, the ancient Israelites and their remnant, the Jews, rejected Jesus. Some put their faith in him, but many more turned away. And now, by the time just following the murder of John, the answer to the question, why not them, is answered by Jesus, because they refused the invitation. It was time to celebrate with the king's son, and they've turned away from the king's son. And the second part of this ABBA structure, the why us question is simple enough to answer. In the parable, the servants are sent out with a second set of invitations to fill in with anybody they could find. And that's how the rest of the world comes in the invitation of God to come into the family of God. Go into the streets, both good and bad are invited in, and the invitation of God is not based on the merits of the people, because he says, just go find people to fill up the building. It's entirely on God's desire to have us. And we don't deserve this. This is one of the key points that Jesus makes in the second half of the parable. The why me is answered simply, why me? Only by the grace of God. There's nothing in me or in any of us to deserve being brought into God's kingdom. And we see, and we could stop here and we could examine our lives compared to the Ten Commandments, see how the law condemns us in every single nook and cranny of our lives, and that we don't match up to what God desires. No human achievement stands up to God's glory or holiness. But the parable doesn't stop there. The parable keeps going. The parable strikes an even heavier blow. In the wedding story, somebody shows up without wedding clothes. And as I said before, many high society, wealthy families, like the king of the land, would give the outfits to the people to wear. So they would have their very best, even if they didn't actually own a best in the eyes of many. They would have now a best outfit to wear. And we can't help but notice something. Not this parable, not any parable, is about people buying tickets to, as we would today, to a concert or a play or something where everybody buys a ticket, but maybe somebody would try to sneak in without a ticket. That's not the point. There is nothing like that in Scripture, because that's not how the kingdom of God works at all. We don't buy our way in. We are invited. Remember, our theme for today, you are invited. And then we are given Christ's robe of righteousness to wear. We don't belong in the kingdom of God according to our own righteousness, but on account of Jesus' blood and Jesus' righteousness. Because heaven is not a choice that we make. This is not a decision that you or I made to, I think I want to be a Christian today. This was a gift given to us by God. So in that very last part of the parable, where the king sees a guy there without wedding clothes, that robe of righteousness that was handed out to everyone for free is rejected. Why not put on that beautiful new robe that's free? Well, because that person was an unbeliever. He rejected everything in the kingdom, inside of the church, in God's call to believe in Christ. He rejected it, and he is now trying to get into heaven on his own merits, as if faith in Christ means nothing at all. And don't think that this is just a scene we're painting, or that Jesus is painting about life then. A while ago, I was preaching at a funeral, and a guest came up to me beforehand, and I don't know, was she trying to endear herself to me? Because she said, Pastor, you know, I go to lots of funerals, and I go to church at a lot of different churches in town, because we all basically worship the same God, and we all basically believe the same thing. Now, in that particular funeral sermon, I had a strong law, gospel, sin, and grace message. And I suppose there are times at the funeral of a Christian when we don't need to examine the law so much, but remember the Christ's grace for us. But on that occasion, there was a pretty strong message, and I laid it out pretty clearly for the congregation. And she came up to me later afterwards and at the meal, let it be known, you made me remember going to church when I was a little girl. She was, in effect, saying, the churches don't all teach the same thing. And the message I heard here today was a message I haven't heard in a very long time. The Apostle Paul says, deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ means that you're turning away to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. We know how far short of God's holiness and righteousness we are, that we have fallen. We fall so short, we fall so completely far away and so far down, that to appear before God without Christ is the same as asking for eternal damnation. No, it's not. It's demanding eternal damnation from God. And he will be thrown out, whoever does that, into the outer darkness, where the weeping in hell and the gnashing of teeth in hell will never end. But we have been invited. We have been taken in off the street, we who didn't deserve it, and we have been clothed with Christ so that God doesn't see our sinfulness, our wickedness, our wretchedness. He sees only Christ. Can you imagine God the Father looking at you and saying, this is my Son whom I love? We are brought forward on Judgment Day by God's invitation, not as if we're trying to sneak in, not as if we're standing on our own merits, as if we chose to buy a ticket and we think we deserve to be there, because that, of course, would be worthless. We're there because Christ died for us and bled for us, for our sins on the cross. And that very act, the act of rejecting the Son of God in his day and killing him on the cross, is the very action that God used to bring about our salvation. Put your faith in him. Rely on him. Trust in him, because in Jesus we have forgiveness, and we have a place with God forever at the eternal wedding banquet of the Son. And you are invited. Amen. Last weekend we had the first of our everyone outreach meetings. If you've been wondering what that was about or what it would be like, there's another one coming up at the end of the month, and we have some brief video to help us to understand that.